When we think of victory, we don't think of death. In other words, that's the first category here, death, burial, and resurrection. We're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We think of victory. We think of life. We think of triumph. We think of victorious procession. In other words, all the things that we read about in the scriptures, where 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 54, where we're told that death is swallowed up in victory. Romans chapter 8, verse 37, where we're told by Paul, he says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In other words, that's what we think of when we think of victory. We don't think of death. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, where Paul emphasizes in some of the phraseology, he says, causes us to triumph in Christ. And of course, it causes us to walk in triumphal procession. So that's what we think of when we think of victory instead of death. So we start and we think, well, how is this possible? Sunday, in my Voices of Calvary lesson, one of the things that Jesus said was, it is finished. And I said that word, it's three words in the English, it's only one word in the original Greek language. That phrase means accomplished, the goal has been reached. But it means something more than that, and I'll tell you why. Back in the days of the Roman government, when the empire was in charge, when a man was brought before the judge for a crime committed, the judge would adjudicate the man as either guilty or innocent. If the man was guilty, the judge would prescribe the sentence. He would write it out on a piece of paper called a certificate of debt. On one side of the paper was the crime that the man committed, and on the other side was the penalty his crime had incurred. If that man was put in prison, this certificate of debt would be fastened to the cell door. Everyone that came by could read it. When the person inside the cell had paid to the uttermost, when he had paid his last second of time, the last denarii of his fine, when it was all over, they would come and they would write on the certificate of debt, tetelestai, a Greek word meaning it is finished. Tetelestai. Only in this case, the word literally means paid in full. They would then take it off the cell door, roll it up, and give it to the person. This was proof that the full demands of the law had been met, that he had paid in full his time or his fine or whatever the prescribed penalty was. He could no longer be punished for those crimes. They had been paid in full. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. See, hence why victory in death is what Jesus did for us. And so when he said, it is finished, he said, paid in full. He was telling God, it's paid in full for all of us. Now shift gears with me a little bit. Turn to the book of Daniel, and you got the Bibles in the pew there. Turn to the book of Daniel. I could not help but think of this when I read Matthew chapter 28, 20. And I know there's been a lot of commentaries that read different things when we come to Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar raises an image. It is an image of himself. It's a gold image. It says, whose height was 3 cubits, the breadth thereof was 6 cubits. He set it on the plains of Dura in the province of Babylon. That's verse 1. He, of course, then says that all, when they hear the sackbut, in other words, all the music play, all these old ancient instruments, the psaltery and the dulcimer, that everyone is to bow down and worship that image. And there were three young men. We call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But mind you, it was Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those were their Hebrew names. Funny, we know them more for their Babylonian names than we do for their Hebrew names. Hananiah means Yahweh has been gracious. Mishael is who is like God. And Azariah means Yahweh has helped. Now, I don't know the parents of those three boys, just like I don't know the parents of Daniel, but I'll tell you what, the mama and daddy of those three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, did a beautiful job of raising those kids. Here they are, slaves in a foreign land, and they have held on to their faith. They're about ready to be tested in a way that you and I probably will never be tested. Nebuchadnezzar, after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have decided that they are not going to bow down, even under penalty of the fiery furnace. It says, Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury, this is verse 13, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It says, then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods nor worship the golden image which I have set up? I love this part. Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Sounds a whole lot like Pilate, doesn't it? Don't you know I have power of life and death over you? He thought he was big stuff. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was big stuff too. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, says, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. That's just a fancy 1611 Elizabethan way of saying, we have no need to answer you of this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I love that answer. In other words, I was all, you know, you're raised and you hear this story in Bible school, you know, Sunday school as a little boy, and you think that somehow Nebuchadnezzar gave Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego a second chance. Don't you? In other words, is it true? Didn't you hear the command? Now I'm going to give you another chance. That's not what's here. Nebuchadnezzar doesn't say, I'm going to give you another chance, because you know what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said? Is we have no need of this. We will not fall down and worship your image. We will not serve your gods. We will not do what you want us to do. We will not turn our back on our faith that we have known all of our lives. Just because you say so and you threaten us with death and destruction, literally, death and destruction. Well, here it says, Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. The form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one, seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, which is their socks, their hats, their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. He was astonished. Rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, again, I know what the commentaries say on this. They say, well, Nebuchadnezzar was a pagan. How could he know the Son of God? And you have another commentary say this. You have another commentary say that. And you know what? I've learned to ignore all of that. Some of the greatest confessions of faith have been made by the pagans in the scripture, of all things, right? We have centurions, old centurions, in other words, at the foot of the cross saying, truly this was the Son of God, and I know what the commentators say about that, and they're wrong. You have a centurion who was asking somebody to be healed on, in other words, he comes to Jesus and he wants somebody healed, and he says, You know, I'm a man under authority too, and I tell somebody to go and they go, and I tell somebody to come and they come. And I know all you have to do is say the word. You know what Jesus said? I've not seen greater faith, no, not in Israel. So I know what Nebuchadnezzar said, and I know what the commentaries say about what Nebuchadnezzar said. And I don't care what the commentaries say on what Nebuchadnezzar said. He looked into that fiery furnace and he said, I see four men loose, and one of them looks like the Son of God. Now, Matthew chapter 28, 20. You want to know the depth of what Jesus said when he's ready to go back to the Father and he talks to his disciples. He gives them the Great Commission. And in Matthew 28, 20, he says, and lo, I am with you always, even up to the end of the age. There is no place that Jesus will not go with us. Amen? Hallelujah. There's no place that Jesus will not go with us. And that is victory, my brothers and sisters. That is victory. And that's what we have. Victory in the Lord's death.